And a very good Sunday morning to everybody out there. You know what time it is, 11 a.m. Sunday morning. It is time for the hot seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, right here on 104.5 The Team and that free 104.5 The Team app. Thank you for tuning in. Hope everybody out there had a great week. Hope you got a great week planned ahead as well. We're right in the thick of fall, MLB postseason baseball right around the corner. The NFL getting into swing here, just into 4 weeks already. Can you believe it's already week four of this NFL season, and the WNBA playoffs officially underway, as it's just great sports all around this time of year. College football's back. You're starting to get inklings of the NBA season creeping up around the corner in just a month or two. So it's just a beautiful time of year, and no better time to be right here on 104.5 The Team with you, taking you all the way through from 11 until 12 noon. And of course, later on in the show, the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond, coming up at around 11:30, 11:40, as we do every single Sunday here on the hot seat with your host, Vinny Frederick. So thank you for tuning in, as it's been a great weekend so far. Very excited to be back here with you. And you know, we'll dive into things the way we always do. We'll start going around the MLB diamond with our regional teams of interest. Obviously, not much to say on the Boston Red Sox, as they are very, you know, clearly eliminated from the playoffs this season. They had a chance there. They had a good run they were getting started out with towards the beginning of this second half of the season, and somewhere along the ways, just the wheels fell off, the pitching got a little fatigued, the bats got cold, and next thing you know, you're in too far down to really make a comeback in that wild card race in the American League. So Boston Red Sox officially done for the season, and it's, you know, it was a impressive outing, I would still say. I wouldn't call the season a failure. Naturally, a team with as much history as the Red Sox expects to make playoffs and compete. But going into this season, this Red Sox team wasn't looked at as a heavy postseason favorite. They weren't looked at as a team that would compete for the AL East. And there was a point throughout the season where they were starting to creep up on the Orioles and the Yankees and were only a few games out. They weren't able to keep that hot streak going, but I would still consider this a solid season for the Red Sox, and they'll be right back at it next year. You can never count them out, and yeah, I think it was still a solid season despite a clearly disappointing end to it. They'll be back next season, and I'm sure they'll be much better off. As Alex Cora, he's going to be there for the next few years, and I think he's a great manager. Does he say some things that, you know, could be considered talking out of his behind sometimes? Yes, but he gets his players all riled up and he gets them ready to compete, and they're ready to fight for him. They're ready to fight with him. So he's a very motivational manager, and I think he's going to do a great job with this Red Sox team for the next few years to come. So they're not going anywhere. They may be lacking in, I would say, star talent at this moment, but they have some young guns on this team with a lot of great potential. And like I said, with Alex Cora at the helm, this Red Sox team, I'm sure, will be back. Moving on to the New York Mets here, who were fighting for a postseason spot. And obviously, some things went a little haywire. A couple games in that series at Atlanta, which was really the main deciding factor, you could say, as who was going to get that last NL wildcard spot, because they were neck and neck going into the series. The Mets held a two-game lead on the Atlanta Braves, and then all of a sudden, a couple games get rained out, and they'll obviously still have to make up those games. So with this Mets team, there's still some question marks here, because you really don't know yet where you're sitting. Obviously, we're not going to know until Monday, September 30th, coming up tomorrow, is when they're having a doubleheader at Atlanta, and whether that doubleheader is going to help them or hurt them potentially, we'll have to wait and see. But either way, these are two of the biggest games that they're going to play all season. It's got heavy playoff implications, And while it does stink that you weren't able to go out and get it done originally, you still got a chance. You know, doubleheaders are tough, especially ones like this against a great opponent, one that you've already lost game one in the series to way back last Tuesday. But they really got to buckle down here and get the job done, because this New York Mets team, they played pretty well this latter half of the season, and you don't want that to all be for nothing. Obviously, even with Francisco Lindor going down with injury, he has since come back, but him going down, a lot of people could have assumed that at that moment, it was pretty much over with. You know, there was going to be no playoffs for the Mets because you're missing out on your MVP caliber player. But Luis Angel Acuña has stepped up big time, and naturally the New York Mets still fighting with the Atlanta Braves, and we'll have to see. We'll have to see if they can clutch up and get things done here, but hopefully this time next week here on the hot seat, we will have good news for you Mets fans, and we'll be able to talk a little postseason baseball about not just our Yankees, but also our New York Mets. Speaking of those Yankees, they were finally able to get it done and clinch themselves the division in what really started to give some Yankee fans heart attacks after a great few series. I want to say it was five straight series wins going all the way back to the series at Wrigley Field. Yeah, five straight series wins, and then come out and you lose your first two against the Baltimore Orioles, the team that really is fighting you for the AL East. I mean, they had a pretty solid lead on the Orioles going into that series, and the Baltimore Orioles also haven't been playing their best brand of baseball lately. So the fact that you lose too early on to them isn't a great outlook on how this team is going to play in the playoffs, especially considering the way the bracket's looking right now. You might play the Orioles in the ALDS. If they beat the Royals, if that's their matchup in the wild card round, you're in for some stiff competition. You're playing against a team that just won a series against you and obviously has all the momentum going their way because they just got a wild card series win. Granted, this could all be different, and you know the Yankees could be facing the Royals in the second round, which still isn't a great matchup, or the bracket could come out and look differently, but either way, this New York Yankees team did get the job done. They secured the American League East. Now the real question is securing the number one seed in the American League, because Cleveland's right there behind you, and the last thing you need is for them making a late run at you and all of a sudden you no longer have home field advantage for the entire, you know, first three rounds of the playoffs. Home field advantage in baseball is one of the biggest advantages you can get across pro sports. Obviously, you have your fans there, you know your stadium, but the fact that you have the opportunity to always hit last when you're at home, as all baseball fans know, it's crucial. It's crucial, and the New York Yankees, with an opportunity to give themselves home field advantage throughout the playoffs, you got to take advantage of that, because you're not always in that position where sometimes you can win the division. You can be one of the best teams in the league, but most of the time there's going to be a team out there that is just too far away for you to catch up to and you're unable to secure home field advantage. But right now we're seeing a lot of teams that are hovering around the same mark. Even in the National League, you look at the Dodgers and the Phillies, and then in the American League, obviously the Yankees and the Guardians, you know, all four teams with a chance to get themselves that number one seed and secure that home field advantage. You know they're going to be fighting for it, but the New York Yankees did get it done. It would have been very worrisome if they had gotten swept by Baltimore, and now all of a sudden you're putting yourself in a position where you might not even be able to win the division anymore. Luckily, the Yankees were able to get it done. As the regular season does come to a close today, they will finish off this series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's going to be Clark Schmidt on the mound facing off against Bailey Falter for the Pirates. So hopefully the Yankees get themselves a win to close out the regular season here today, coming up around 3 o'clock. Obviously, you can hear all Yankees games right here on 104.5 The Team, that free 104.5 The Team app. So be sure to tune in as New York Yankees getting back into the postseason after missing it last year. Hopefully next week we will have some good things to talk about and some good play from the Yankees that we can elaborate on right here on the hot seat. All right, when we come back, we will dive into the NFL picks that I had last week, how many games I predicted wrongly. We'll check in on the New York Giants, the Jets, and the New England Patriots, and the Buffalo Bills, of course, all their matchups. And later on, we'll dive into the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond. So stay with us. More of the hot seat coming up right here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and that free 104.5 The Team app. Vinny Fredericks here from the hot seat, letting you know to download the free, that's right, the free 104.5 The Team app on the App Store today to be up to date with when our shows are going on, when the hot seat is happening every Sunday morning, and when the rest of our programming updates come out, as you will be able to listen to our shows live from your phone anytime you want. So be sure to go to the App Store, download the free 104.5 The Team app today. And we are back here on the hot seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, the free 104.5 The Team app. Thanks for tuning in on this fine Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, you know what that means. It's week four in the NFL season. Before we get to today's matchups, we'll take a look at the week three scoreboard. I'll let you know which games I got right, which usually is not many because, well, my predictions have just simply been quite off lately, but maybe this is a bit of a bounce back week for me. So let's dive into things here and see how we're looking. Obviously, we'll go back a ways to Thursday the 19th when the Jets and Patriots about a week and a half ago faced off on Thursday Night Football. It was the Jets who had a very easy victory over the Patriots 24-3 as Aaron Rodgers had himself a solid outing, 281 yards through the air, two touchdowns. As the New York Jets pretty much dominated the New England Patriots in a way that they have not been able to do in quite some time. As it seems the Patriots have always had the Jets number, but not this year. We may be looking at a new New York Jets team with a different type of style and a whole different attitude over there with the New York Jets. So a big victory for them this, well, not this past Thursday, but two Thursdays ago in week three. Way back on the 19th. Last week's games, our New York football Giants got the win, their first of the season against the Cleveland Browns, 21-15 the final there, and what was a solid outing. Daniel Jones looked all right, 236 through the air, two touchdowns. Malik Nabers, the rookie, had two of those touchdowns from Daniel Jones. Devin Singletary on the ground, 65 yards and a score. And the New York Giants, you see what a difference makes when you have an actual kicker that can kick PATs and you're not forced to go for two every single touchdown, as it paid off for them. The Browns tried to make it interesting towards the end there, but unable to get the win out in Cleveland. And an interesting start to the Giants season so far. I mean, you lose two games that you arguably could have won against the Minnesota Vikings, who are a completely different story. They're obviously looking much better this year than anyone would have expected, but first game with Sam Darnold at quarterback, you expect the Giants to be able to compete there. They get blown out. Then, obviously, the whole kicker fiasco goes on. You lose Graham Gano against the Commanders. The Commanders end up kicking seven field goals against you to beat you 21-18. And yet another game that the Giants 100% could have won had some things gone differently. And then, first game of the season where you could say, all right, the Giants really shouldn't win this one. The Cleveland Browns are a very talented football team. You can make the argument, Watson, albeit probably not this year, but going into this season, you can make the argument that he would be the better quarterback to Daniel Jones, but doesn't matter. Giants get the win in a game that they probably were predicted by many to lose, and they might have gotten themselves on a roll here. Obviously, this past Thursday against Dallas, not necessarily a matchup that you're looking forward to against, you know, a team that has pretty much dominated you for the better part of the last decade. But last Sunday, you get that first win of the season and you hopefully use that to give you some momentum moving on throughout the year, because a lot of people might not have expected that the Giants would even have gotten their first win of the season by now. So good win for the Giants as we'll move down the line here. Packers-Titans, Packers with a big blowout, 30-14 the final there. Finally, I got a prediction right. As at first, I was not on the Malik Willis train, but he has played some pretty good football since taking over the starting job for the injured Jordan Love. Titans and Will Levis just continues to find ways to lose his team football games. Just has not looked very solid from the quarterback position. And at what point do you wonder if the Titans may be looking to restart at the quarterback position come this offseason? Because right now, 0-3 going into week 4, obviously not going to make playoffs playing like that. And Will Levis, who you've been given some time to, has been unable to really improve since you brought him in to replace Malik Willis. So naturally the Titans, they fall in this one, 0-3 start to the season. And we'll see if down the line they end up looking elsewhere at quarterback, especially with this year's draft class having some decent QBs in it. We'll see what ends up happening with the Tennessee Titans. Bears and Colts. Colts get their first win of the season, 21-16. I want to say I predicted that one as well. I usually don't go against the Colts simply because I'm a big Anthony Richardson fan, big Florida Gator fan, but hasn't looked great on the season so far as they were unable to get any touchdowns through the air in this one, but 3 on the ground against a struggling Bears defense that was just simply unable to contain Jonathan Taylor as he went out, got 110 yards and 2 of those touchdowns on the ground. Caleb Williams still dealing with some growing pains, albeit he did throw for 363 yards, a couple scores, but I mean, you also got to chalk on an interception or two in there, and naturally, it's been a rough start to his young career. As well, we've seen that with a lot of these young quarterbacks just getting thrust into the starting role. It's not working for a lot of teams because, well, you got to let these guys develop. You got to let them learn an offense. You got to let them learn how it's different at the pro level. And a lot of them just haven't had that opportunity. So Caleb Williams being one of them, despite as talented as he is, he's still going to have a great career, be a great quarterback. But right now, he's got some things to learn, and he's not getting any favors done by being thrusted into the starting job right away. Texans and Vikings, speaking of a team who has a quarterback who took a few years to really develop, going up against a team who had a standout rookie quarterback last year in C.J. Stroud. The Houston Texans actually fall in this one, 34-7 the final, as the Minnesota Vikings off to a 3-0 start on the season. Sam Darnold again leading the Minnesota Vikings to a victory. Didn't have to do too much through the air, only 181 yards, but still able to get 4 touchdowns through the air despite throwing under 200 yards. There was 100 yards on the ground from Aaron Jones and the Vikings. Justin Jefferson had 81 yards through the air. And the Minnesota Vikings defense continues to impress as they were able to put the clamps on a very solid Houston Texans offense led by C.J. Stroud. You got Joe Mixon in the backfield. Obviously, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. I mean, this is a game that I definitely got wrong. I did not pick the Vikings to win this one. Certainly wouldn't have picked them to win by 27. But this Minnesota Vikings team, very impressive so far in the first few weeks of the season. We'll see if they can keep this momentum going as they take on their rival, the Packers, here in week 4. Eagles and Saints, the Eagles able to finally force the Saints to not score on a possession as they get their first loss of the season. Eagles win this one 15-12 in a low scoring bout. I mean, the Saints really had this one under wraps for the better portion of the game, you'd think, but Eagles score all 15 of their points in the fourth quarter, and that's all they needed, as Saquon Barkley had 2 fourth quarter touchdowns, and that was all she wrote. The Eagles giving the Saints their first loss of the season, and both of these teams, very impressive so far in the NFC. We'll see if this is potentially another matchup later on down the season, especially once we get closer to playoff time. Steelers and Chargers. Steelers continuing their role. They stay undefeated as they defeat the Chargers. I definitely I want to say I picked the Eagles in that last game, so I think I got that game right. Steelers for sure picked them as well because they have just been solid. Justin Fields has been doing a fine job at quarterback, not doing too much with it, able to control the game. And the Steelers defense, as always, just very impressive, led by TJ Watt. And the Steelers 3-0 right now. At this point, I'm not sure what team out there can beat them. Their defense is unstoppable. You know, the offense, especially with Justin Fields under center, they've looked very consistent. Might not be getting in the end zone as much as they would like, but they're not turning the ball over too much. They're playing smart with it. And obviously, when you have Mike Tomlin at head coach, you're always going to have a pretty solid outing, and you're always going to be right there ready to compete for, you know, any game, because he's always putting a good team out there. And the Steelers team looking very solid through the first few weeks of the season. The Broncos get the upset over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in what is their first win of the season. Definitely did not pick the Denver Broncos to beat the Buccaneers by 19. But alas, it is the case, as Bo Nix had himself a standout performance. His first win of his young career, 216 yards through the air. Unable to get a touchdown, but did have 47 yards on the ground and a rushing touchdown to his credit. As the Denver Broncos, albeit only scoring two touchdowns on the day with the offense, defense had a great outing, and all you needed after that was a few field goals, four field goals from Will Lutz, all you need. And next thing you know, the Broncos, a team that a lot of people are expecting to be pretty bad this season, get a big upset over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And speaking of big upsets, I can't believe this happened. The Carolina Panthers, in their first game with Andy Dalton under center at quarterback replacing Bryce Young, leads them to their first victory of the season in a pretty outright demoralizing victory against the Vegas Raiders, who they took down 36-22, coming off a big upset in their Week 2 matchup when they upset the Baltimore Ravens. And maybe Andy Dalton is the savior for Carolina. Maybe it was Bryce Young who was at fault all along. Seahawks defeat the injured Miami Dolphins 24-3 in what was a pretty easy victory for them, as Miami is dealing with yet another QB injury as Skylar Thompson went down and Tim Boyle had to come in the game. Ravens and Cowboys. Ravens, despite it being a 28-25 final, dominate the Cowboys up 28-6 at halftime, or 21-6 early on, 28-6 at one point in the third. Dallas tried to make it interesting with 19 fourth quarter points, but the Ravens with a very easy, and I mean easy, victory over the Cowboys in that one in Dallas. The Rams get themselves an upset over the San Francisco 49ers as they stun the Niners 27-24 on a late field goal. The 49ers, don't look now, are currently 1-2 on the season. Quite the interesting start to this NFL season, as we're seeing a lot of teams that should be playing better get early losses, a lot of teams that you wouldn't expect to be as good getting some early wins. The Detroit Lions took care of business against the Arizona Cardinals, winning that one 20-13. Kansas City Chiefs take care of business in Sunday Night Football, taking down the Atlanta Falcons 22-17. And on Monday night, the Buffalo Bills, behind four touchdowns from Josh Allen, dominate the Jacksonville Jaguars 47-10, as the Jags are now 0-3 to start the season. And the Washington Commanders push the Cincinnati Bengals to 0-3 on the year, beating them 38-33 in the first game in NFL history in which neither team either punted nor turned the ball over. There was a score on every single possession in that game, which made NFL history. So, a lot of interesting upsets throughout the first few weeks of the season, as it's making it harder and harder to correctly predict these games and accurately make any sort of expectation on who's going to win. But we'll try and run through today's matchups, and hopefully I get more right this week, because it seems like every week I'm making these predictions and I think that I have a good guess in the back of my mind, and then next thing I know, I end up getting half the games wrong. But we'll try our best here, as we'll start with the 1 o'clock game, Saints Falcons. I'm going to go Falcons in this one. I think the Saints offense might start to see itself slow down a little bit after finally having a game where they struggled to get the ball in the end zone especially in Atlanta. I'm taking Falcons to win this one. Rams and Bears, I'm going to say the Rams continue this momentum that they built after beating the 49ers. Bears continue to struggle with Caleb Williams under center, as there's obviously going to be more growing pains as the season goes on. So I'm going to go Rams to win this one in Chicago. Vikings and Packers in Green Bay. I think this is going to be, well, this is a tough one because obviously if Jordan Love was out there, it'd be a much different story. But I think the Vikings are going to find a way to continue this streak they got on. First time this season, I'm going to take the Vikings to win a matchup. So as you probably can guess, this is going to be their first loss of the season. But still going Vikings to win in Green Bay. Steelers-Colts, I'm going Steelers all day on that one. Broncos-Jets, I'm going to say Jets get the job done here. Broncos had a great week 3 matchup against the Buccaneers, but I think Aaron Rodgers gets the job done for the Jets. Eagles and Buccaneers in Tampa, I'm going to say Eagles get this one. Bengals and Panthers in what is really an interesting matchup. Man, I feel like the Bengals have to get their first win of the season here. Otherwise, this is straight up disastrous for Cincinnati. So I'm going Bengals in this one. Jaguars, Texans. I think Texans get the job done here at home. Push the Jaguars to 0-4. Commanders and Cardinals. I think the Cardinals get this one. I think the Commanders, albeit, are riding a lot of momentum in Arizona. I think the Cardinals get the job done here. Patriots and Niners, definitely going Niners here in the first 4 o'clock game. Excuse me, Commanders, Cardinals also at 4 o'clock. But in California, I'm going to take San Francisco to win at home over New England. Browns and Raiders, ooh, this is a tough one. I'm going to say Raiders at home. Obviously got some question marks with the QB position and whether or not Gardner Minshew will continue to be the quarterback this season. We'll have to see. But I'm going to take Raiders in this one at home. Chiefs and Chargers, I'm going to go Chiefs, win on the road here, push their season to 4-0. Bills-Ravens, Sunday night, 8:20 on NBC or Peacock in Baltimore. I think as crazy as it sounds, this is going to be the first time we see the Bills lose this season. I know, I'm sorry to say it, but I think the Ravens are starting to figure out this offense with Derrick Henry in the backfield, and that is a scary sight for the rest of the league. So I'm going to go Ravens to win this one. And again, 2 Monday night games. We got Titans-Dolphins. I think this is where the Titans get their first win of the season. The Dolphins obviously going to keep on struggling without Tua at quarterback. And then Seahawks-Lions. The Seahawks have not lost to the Lions in the last at least 10 or so years, somewhere around there. So I'm going to go, ooh, this is tough because the Lions are much better now than they were in the past. I'm going to go Lions here to win at home and be the first team to knock off the Seahawks this season. All right, when we come back here, we'll have the hottest headlines of the week for you around the world of sports and beyond. So don't go anywhere. More of The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, coming up next here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio and that free 104.5 The Team app. Vinny Fredericks from The Hot Seat here. And if you want to be up to date with when episodes are going to come out, when it's going to be live on air on 104.5 The Team, and if you want to see clippings and snippets of interviews and other on-air moments from my time here with 104.5 The Team, follow my social media accounts at VFreds Media, at VFREDDS Media on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and more to stay up to date on everything and all things Hot Seat and more. And welcome back to this Sunday morning edition of The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, right here on 104.5 The Team, that free 104.5 The Team app. You know what time it is. It's around 11:30, 11:40 on a Sunday. So it is time for your hottest headlines of the week and beyond around the world of sports, as we'll dive right into it here, starting out with the Oakland Athletics. Who would have thought the Oakland Athletics are in good news this week, as everybody officially said goodbye to the Oakland Coliseum after 57 seasons. The Coliseum is officially closed as the Oakland Athletics played their final home game in front of a massive sold-out crowd, which was raucous and engaged from the very first pitch, and they were able to send them home happy with a victory in what is the final game to ever be played in Oakland. As the A's announced back in April of 2023 that they have a deal to move to Las Vegas. And they just announced this past April that there would be a 3 to 4 year stay in a minor league stadium in West Sacramento beginning next year while a new stadium is built in Las Vegas. The team's lease at the Coliseum ended after the final out this past Thursday, and negotiations between the city and the Athletics on an extension fell apart nearly before they started. Obviously, the team's departure has been low on sentiment, and you know the fans obviously very disappointed. The owner, John Fisher, you know, said he wished he could individually thank each fan despite the years of gutting the team and ignoring the fan base practically. On the final day, the team hit some of the right notes. Former Athletics pitcher Barry Zito sang the national anthem. Dave Stewart, Ricky Henderson, and both who are Oakland natives and Athletics legends throughout the first pitches. And what was obviously a very rough, I would say rough, you know, way to get to that ending, it was still a good ending for the Athletics and their fans as they were able to beat the Texas Rangers 3-2. And well, that will do it for the Oakland Athletics in Oakland as they will move on and begin a new chapter in their franchise history. Sticking with baseball news here, obviously last week Shohei Ohtani became the first in Major League history to ever have a 50-50 season with 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases. And there was a bit of controversy going around about the home run ball that he hit number 50 with, as you know, there was an attempt to halt the auction of his 50-50 ball with, you know, an 18-year-old fan saying he's the rightful owner. He had filed a civil lawsuit this past Wednesday seeking a temporary injunction to halt the auction, which is scheduled to open, well, to already has opened on Friday. But unfortunately for the 18-year-old fan who claimed that the ball was rightfully his, he was, you know, not given the rights to the ball, and it will now obviously be auctioned off with the opening bid set for $500,000. So naturally, you know, everybody wants a piece of that historic 50-50 ball, but it's going to go down as one of those pieces in baseball history that ends up selling for quite a bit. All right, moving on here in some basketball news, former MVP, the youngest MVP in NBA history, Derrick Rose is officially retiring from the NBA after a 16-year career. He announced on social media the other day, saying, "Knowing that I gave my all to the game, I feel confident in my decision. Basketball was just the beginning for me. Now it's important that I give my all to my family. They deserve that." Rose, who is 35 now, announced his decision Thursday morning on social media. Also took out full-page ads in the local newspapers of the six NBA cities he played in: Chicago, New York, Cleveland, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Detroit, and Memphis, to personally thank each fan base. The Memphis Grizzlies, who was his most recent team, had granted Rose's request to let him out of the final year of his contract earlier in the week. And Derrick Rose, who arrived to the league as the number one overall pick in 2008 to his hometown Chicago Bulls, quickly emerged as one of the NBA's most exciting young stars, who unfortunately had a very rough career in terms of injuries. But at his prime, back in 2008-09, when he was Rookie of the Year and an All-Star the next three seasons, he became the youngest MVP in NBA history, like I said, winning the honor as a 22-year-old in 2010-11, which is crazy for me to think about that he was younger than me when he won his first MVP award. But unfortunately, like I said, the trajectory of his career turned when he first tore his ACL during the first round of the 2012 playoffs, as he would miss the entire next season and would only play in 10 games in 2013-2014. So Derrick Rose, still, I would say, will go down as one of the greatest stories in NBA history, albeit he may not be one of the best players just because of his history and his issues with injuries. His impact on the game of basketball, as someone who grew up watching him and especially on the city of Chicago to his hometown Bulls, cannot be understated. In a bit of college football news, UNLV, University of Las Vegas quarterback Matthew Sluka, left the undefeated Rebels on Tuesday night over claims of unfulfilled verbal NIL promises from a UNLV assistant coach, a decision that illuminates the fragility of the current collegiate system and how talent is procured and retained. Sluka's agent, Marcus Cromartie, told ESPN that UNLV didn't come through on a verbal offer of $100,000 from an assistant coach, and the quarterback's father, Bob Sluka, told ESPN that head coach Barry Odom later said in a phone conversation the offer wasn't valid because it didn't come from him. So, a very interesting situation going on here with UNLV is 3-0 to start the season, a legitimate chance at making the college football playoffs if they win their conference. Now all of a sudden they lose their starting quarterback over failing to make good on NIL promises, as Matthew Sluka received one $3,000 payment for a fan engagement that he attended this summer, but that is it. He was initially, you know, orally promised $100,000, and there was clearly some miscommunication going on there, but right now, the 23rd ranked UNLV Rebels, without their starting quarterback, and on top of it, they've also lost their starting running back, who is also redshirting. That's why Matthew Sluka is not going to play again this season. He's redshirting this season and not going to play again to obviously have an extra year of college eligibility. But yeah, their running back also is now redshirting his season as well. Simply because, you know, different reasoning, you know, albeit not for NIL reasons, but this UNLV Rebels team is now without Matthew Sluka, their starting quarterback, and Michael Allen was the running back who announced he will sit out the rest of the season, as he also claims that he did not receive what was promised to him in a more sense of playing time and on-field opportunities. So the UNLV Rebels in a very peculiar situation, and obviously with some things to figure out for the future of the football program, as it's unfortunate that these things had to happen because they were off to a very good start to the season, 3-0, and very clearly had a chance to potentially be a playoff team in this year's college football playoffs. So tough scenes out there for the UNLV Rebels. Real quick, before we go to a break, we'll touch on the WNBA playoffs, which are officially underway. We are through the first round of the playoffs, as we are now down to just four teams left. It was the Atlanta Dream falling to the New York Liberty in a clean 2-0 sweep in their first round matchup. Sabrina Ionescu with 36 points, 9 assists, and 3 steals in the closeout game for them. Las Vegas Aces, led by Asia Wilson and Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young, they defeat the Seattle Storm in, again, a 2-0 sweep in their series. The Connecticut Sun took down the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark as her rookie season comes to an end, as the Connecticut Sun won Game 2 of that series 87-81. And the Minnesota Lynx took care of business against the Phoenix Mercury. Nafisa Collier for the Minnesota Lynx, 42 points in a closeout game, as pretty much, not pretty much, literally every team in the first round of this WNBA playoffs swept a 2-0 series victory. So if you ask me, they got to extend these series to 5 games. The first round in the WNBA is 3 games, and then the conference finals and the finals, obviously 5 games. But I think every series should just be 5 games, because the fact that all 4 series in the first round of the playoffs were sweeps goes to show you that teams simply aren't getting enough opportunity. You know, anything can happen. We've seen, especially in, say, NBA history, we have seen teams who are down 2-0 come back and win a best of 7 series. Now, albeit WNBA may not be at that 7-game series level just yet, but I would say that they definitely deserve to have a shot in that first round at a 5-game series, because one, you see a lot of teams not get to play at home. I mean, Caitlin Clark didn't even get a home playoff game. And obviously all these other teams, you know, the Phoenix Mercury never got to play in Phoenix. The Atlanta Dream never got to play in Atlanta. All of these teams had to play both of their 2 games that they lost on the road. And that makes it much harder for them to be able to extend the series. Then you're also in a situation where, say, one of these teams did win on the road, Now, all of a sudden, you have a game three and the higher seeded team is on the road for that game three. Just doesn't make sense to me. The higher seed should always be home in the last game of the series if it goes to it. But just the way that it's set up, one, why it's only a three game series to start the playoffs and not five. Two, why the first two games are at home for the higher seed and then on the road for the last game if it goes to three. Just doesn't make sense to me. But naturally, the playoffs will continue as just starting today, actually, at 3 o'clock, it will be Las Vegas Aces against the New York Liberty, and the Connecticut Sun will take on the Minnesota Lynx at 8:30. All right, when we come back, we'll dive into my fantasy football matchup for this week, currently 0-3, but I have a good feeling that this week may be the time that I get my first win. Fingers crossed. More of the Hot Seat coming up next with Vinny Fredericks right here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio and that free 104.5 The Team app. Vinny Fredericks here from the Hot Seat, just wanting to say thank you. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Or if you're listening live on 104.5 The Team every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. till 12 noon, we appreciate it very much here. And it's because of listeners like you that I continue to do this and follow my dreams. So thank you again for listening and for being a supporter of the Hot Seat and 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Be on the lookout for new episodes throughout the week and for the live airings every Sunday morning on 104.5 The Team. And we are back here on the Hot Seat on a beautiful Sunday morning, almost afternoon now, with your host Vinny Fredericks here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio in Albany and that free 104.5 The Team app. And before we put the wraps here on this Sunday edition of the Hot Seat, we'll take a look at my fantasy matchup. As like I said, coming out of the last segment, currently 0-3, one of only two people in my league that are 0-3. There's, let's see, four teams sitting at 1-2 right now, four teams sitting at 2-1, and only two teams who are currently 3-0. And I, of course, am facing one of those 3-0 teams this week, going up against my boy Michael Johnson Jr., as you all know, from Big Board Sports weekday mornings. His father is actually in the league, and that is my matchup this week, the Mike Johnson Sr. And we're off to a decent start. The Thursday night game did me pretty well. CeeDee Lamb, Wandale Robinson, Jake Ferguson out there for me netted me, you know, about 50 points. So I'll take that any day of the week. He only had Devin Singletary going. So off to a good start right now, but need a big game from Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry again. My, you know, the big game that Henry had last week pretty much wasted as I lost last week by just 1.5. And when you lose by that little, it's easy to look at your lineup and think, wow, if I just started this guy, I would have won. If I didn't start this guy, I would have won. If Harrison Butker had just not missed that field goal last week and made all of his attempts, I would have won. But that's last week. We're on to this week. Brand new week. And brand new week means a brand new chance at victory. And I did end up making a trade early last week, as I officially let go of T. Higgins from my roster, as I was offered T. Higgins and Nick Chubb. In return, I got J.K. Dobbins from the Los Angeles Chargers, which I think was a pretty good deal. Dobbins, had a pretty solid star at the running back position, had a, you know, a down game during week three, only netting me 8 points, but still a solid running back, and he solves my running back dilemma where I had no one outside of Derrick Henry. You know, I mean, I was starting Justice Hill. I did pick up Braylon Allen. I got him in my flex right now. I have Alexander Mattison on the bench. So there are some decent running backs there, but I needed a clear-cut running back too to accompany alongside Derrick Henry, and we finally got it in J.K. Dobbins. Now, my issue becomes, one, figuring out my defense, because Cleveland has not been very good this season in fantasy-wise defensively. I was able to pick up the Minnesota Vikings defense, waiting a week to start them because they are facing the Packers, who are one of the higher scoring teams in the league, and the Browns are facing the Las Vegas Raiders, who I think they should be able to hold to a, you know, decent defensive outing. So I'm sticking with the Cleveland defense this week, but might be workshopping some other ideas at the defense if Cleveland continues to struggle. But I do have the Vikings, who are currently the number one ranked fantasy defense, sitting on the bench just in case I need to make them my new number one. The other issue I'm having is I need a clear-cut wide receiver too. Wandale Robinson did great for me last week. Well, this week, I should say. He's pretty consistent, averages right around over 10 points, so a solid wide receiver too. But aside from him, I don't have that many other options. Christian Watson has not been very good for me this season. Jalen Waddle, without Tua, he struggles a lot. I did pick up Xavier Leggett. I've got Isaiah Likely, but I could really use another solid wide receiver too. But for now, we'll leave Wandale Robinson in there, and hopefully he continues to consistently put up right around 10, 15 points a game, because we'll take that, especially from your second wide receiver. And I just need CeeDee Lamb, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, my top picks, to continue to ball out. And we should be good this fantasy season. All right, that'll put the wraps on this Sunday edition of The Hot Seat. Thank you for tuning in with your host, Vinny Fredericks. We'll be right back at it next week with more of the hottest takes, the hottest topics, and the hottest headlines around the world of sports and beyond next Sunday from 11 a.m. till 12 noon. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Be sure to check out the other content throughout the week. Big Board Sports, 10 to 1, The Drive, 3 to 7 every weekday. And of course, like I said, be back here next Sunday for more of The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, here on 104.5 The Team and that free 104.5 The Team app. Take care, everyone.